Genesis, starting Genesis 26, starting in verse number 15. Let's begin to read. This is about Isaac. And it says, "Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants," that's Abraham's servants, "had dug in the valleys, had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." We'll stop there for right now. This is this word actually, it might not seem like much right now to you. This word was actually extremely important in my life. It was back in 2006, actually, that the Lord gave this to me, put it on my heart very, very strongly. And it was for this church. We weren't in this church at this time, but this body has never left our hearts. And this was a word very specific to this church. And you might say, "Well, I don't see nothing in there. Doesn't look like there's any word at all in that passage." And the specific thing that God put on my heart was that we are to redig the wells that were dug before us. Redigging the wells was the word that was given to me. There were some things that I found out since then that made this word even more alive in my spirit. Redigging the wells. What does the well represent? Well, we let the Bible interpret the Bible. Jesus told the woman at the well, he says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me for living water. Jesus is that living water. Jesus is that spring, that eternal spring that never dies. Jesus is that well that rises up. He says it in multiple places. You could find it throughout the Word of God that he is that living water, that he is the spring, that he is the fountain. He's not a cistern. He's a spring of water, not a cistern, which is something which does not get ever fed. It is something that has of limited supply. But he is the spring of living water. So in 2006, God put this word in my heart. That happened to be the 100-year anniversary of a great outpouring of God's Spirit. It was a great outpouring of God's Spirit that happened in Los Angeles. That movement of God at that time is actually, we actually are here in essence as an offshoot of that. Because many things happened and then we, generations later, are here because of it. This well, it represents like a revival to me. It represents God's Spirit moving in such power that people come to him and people know him and people are drawn to him. It is a revival of his Spirit, is what it represents to me. The well, in biblical times, the well communities were formed around the well because a well with water was needed for life. And so where there was water, there was life. And where there was water, people would come and people would gather and people would live there because they knew they needed this. They knew they needed water. And just like in many outpourings, this is exactly what happens. People hear of the outpouring of God, and they will actually move their whole lives around that. They will move and they will transplant themselves. They will gather around. Communities form. Communities are turned around because they know the well is there. Let's gather around the well. And in our history, and is well known that in the year 1907, so I go back over 100 years now, in the year 1907, things began to happen. The men and women that were originally part of this church, they were doing God's work for a while, but in 1907 things changed. Because one day in 1907, the Spirit of God was poured out on a group of people that were meeting. The Spirit of God came down in answer to prayer in a mighty, mighty way. I did not realize this when God gave me that word in 2006. It was a revival of sorts that happened in 1907. That is where we came from. We came from this. This is our heritage. This is our spiritual beginning. Today we is a day that we celebrate our moms, our spiritual heritage, or our physical heritage, our biological heritage. We also have a spiritual heritage. And that heritage is rich. And that heritage is amazing, actually. Because actually, it seems like there was a man who wasn't even saved. He wasn't even sure he was saved the day before. The day before, he wasn't even sure if he was saved. And the day after, he prayed and God's Spirit fell and changed everything. Changed everything. He wasn't even sure if he was saved. Somebody asked him, "Are you sure you're saved?" "Oh, I'm not sure." He committed his life to Christ. The day after, his prayer opened heaven. It could be from anyone, at any walk. You don't have to be a super spiritual Christian. You don't have to be on the top of all Christianity. It could be anybody. And this fountain has lasted 100 plus years. Amazing. When God's Spirit begins to move, things begin to happen. A few months later, where the church was going along, you know, steadily, but all of a sudden things started to happen. Beautiful things started to happen. Within a couple of months, they needed to have a baptism because 70 souls wanted to be baptized. 70. There was a point, and it's well known and probably has been testified in other places, where there was a man who felt from God that he should buy chairs for the building. And so God put on his heart, buy 60 chairs. And some thought, well, we don't need 60 chairs. We don't have that many people because it was excess. It wasn't 60 chairs because they were short 60 chairs. It was 60 chairs just because God told them to do it. And so he bought the 60 chairs. And wouldn't you know it, within a week, God filled all of them. Revival starts happening. The well was open. And now the well is feeding and nourishing everyone. It was a beautiful thing. This is where we came. This is our heritage. This is the well that we came from. They actually, on that first day, there's not a lot written about it, but what is written about it is they started at 10 o'clock, and at 2 in the afternoon, they were still there. At 2 in the afternoon, they were still calling people into the meeting, saying, "You gotta be here." 4 hours of being in the presence of God. And that wasn't even the end. That was just when they were starting to call other people. They came and they seen that God was doing something amazing in people. Because when God starts to move, the clock does not matter. When God starts to move, no one cares what time it is. I've been in meetings where they actually have to kick people out. They have to tell people, you gotta go. Because at one time, they were going, in these meetings, they were going till 3 and 4 in the morning, and the people were just getting absolutely worn out. Because for months and months and months, people were staying till 3 and 4 in the morning every single day. Because no one wants to leave when the Spirit of God is moving. They actually called it the Pentecost of Chicago. They knew it was something amazing and supernatural and beyond their ability to work that up in themselves. This was a move of God. They called it the Pentecost of Chicago. They said you cannot state the amount of things that God was doing in that time, in that day. You cannot overstate what God was doing. And you say to me, well, how does this help me in my problems? I got real issues. How does this help me in what I'm going through? When the Spirit of God begins to move, problems seem to go away. They don't all go away, but problems seem to go away. It is well known that place in LA, they had all kinds of crutches and wheelchairs and all kinds of things that were no longer needed because God healed so many. Because God was moving, and now people were being healed, people were being set free, people were being delivered. And so now they had the remnants of all of those things. Who needs crutches? Who needs a wheelchair? Who needs all these things when the Spirit of God is moving so greatly and healing everyone? This is the way God works. Relationships restored. Relationships restored. We've heard multiple things of men and women who are separated, divorced, and they meet at the altar, crying out to God, and marriages restored, and relationships restored, and many times churches come together. Even in this time, even in our history, even in 1907, there were divisions and things that were not working out between churches. But as soon as that came, in one day, everything was repaired. Because that's what happens. All the other things don't matter anymore. When the Spirit of God moves, who cares about all the little petty differences? We don't want to miss out on what He's doing. The well must be kept open. And so in verse 15 and in verse 17, we're told that the enemy stops up the wells. The enemy comes and he doesn't like that well open, so he's going to try and stop it up. He's going to try and put an end to the flow of living water that's in our lives. He's going to try and fill it up again. So the enemy comes and he tries to fill the well so that it is not usable anymore. Several weeks ago, I talked to you about another word that God gave me back in 2005. You might remember there are the different phases of a church, the man and the machine, or man and movement and a machine and a monument. And it occurs to me as I look through the history of our church that machine really stops up the well. That machine, that getting into the practice of just doing things over and over and over, and this is what we do, and this is the way we've always done it, and we just do, and we go through the mechanisms and the machine of everything that we do, and the machine helps us stop. Do you realize that at the beginning of our church that they gave themselves a funny name? It's a really funny name to me. They were called the Unorganized Italian Churches of the USA. The Unorganized Italian Churches of the USA. The Unorganized. It seems almost comical. Or an organized, when you think of unorganized, you think, well, that's not a good thing. Why is your room so unorganized? Why are you so why is your desk so unorganized? Why is everything around you such an unorganized mess? It doesn't seem good, but then what they were saying is, we're not giving in to the machine. We're not giving in to the organized thing which will put us in a box and will put us in a routine and put us in a mechanism that just keeps moving. And so they resisted it with everything, even to the point of giving themselves the seemingly comical name. We're not going to be organized. We're going to let the Spirit move. We're going to let the Spirit flow. We're going to let the well be the well. Now, I am not talking about, and I don't believe God wants us to go back to tradition or rules or anything like that. Those also stop the well. Tradition and rules and all of those things, they stop the well. Jesus himself even said, you make the word of God of no effect because of your tradition. There might be good things in tradition, but tradition for tradition's sake stops the well, according to Jesus. It makes the word of God of no effect. How powerful is tradition that it could actually stop the word of God's effect? How powerful is tradition? Really powerful. We're not talking about going back to rules and old things for old things' sake. Turn with me to Malachi, the last book of the New Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. It says this, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." And that's all we need to read. The hearts of the fathers will go back to the children, and the hearts of the children will go back to the fathers. I believe we're seeing this in our generation, in our day and age. We're seeing No, I'm not talking about biological fathers and biological children, although there's probably some of that as well in here, but the spiritual implications of this is also there, that he will turn the spiritual children back to the spiritual heart of the father, of their spiritual fathers, and that's what we have in our day and age. You could see the youth, you could see the younger generation, they have a hunger for God, they have a passion for God, they have a worship for God that is not restrained. They want to be unrestrained in their worship and in their commitment to God. Their hearts of the children are turning back to the spiritual hearts of the Father, the spiritual forefathers. We're seeing that in this age. God is reviving those things. He's doing it supernaturally. He's turning the hearts of the children back the hearts of the Father. Spiritual heritage seems to mean something to God. It seems to mean something to God. Over and over in the Old Testament, we hear, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." We hear it over and over. "I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." He says it over and over and over because he made a commitment. He made a commitment, and he is faithful to his word. He made a commitment, and now he began something, and he's faithful to see it through generation after generation after generation. It's not because the men and the women were so perfect. They all had flaws, like we all have flaws. They were all flawed individuals. Thank God that he doesn't need perfect people to do his work. They were all flawed individuals. But God did something through them and with them. And he poured out his Spirit. And, And we still are here today because of them, because of what God did. Not because man was so great, but because God was so gracious through them. They were obedient, and we give honor where honor is due. It's one of the commandments. Honor thy father and mother, that you might have long life on this earth or in this land. We honor them. We don't go so far as to worship them, but we honor them because they deserve honor. What we realize is that we're standing on a well. You must realize that you're standing on a well. What you have below you is a rich and deep well. Maybe it's stopped up. Maybe it's not like what it was in 1907. Maybe it's not like it was in 1908. Maybe it's not like it was back in those days. But there's a well underneath us because God put it there. There's a well beneath us because God put it there. And it would be a tragedy if you just heard this message and you said, well, okay, that's great. If you don't go home and you don't pray about it, you don't begin to stir yourself up and say, yes, this well must be reopened. This is the point of the message today. Stir yourself up to begin to dig that well one more time. Because it's below us. It's there. God put it there. God put it there. God put it there. God started it. We didn't start it. They didn't start it. God did it. And it's there. And it's below us. It's below us. There's a well that can be found underneath us. And you say, how? How do I do this? How do I do such a thing? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to realize that you have part of this inheritance. You have to realize whether it's biologically or whatever it is, we're all grafted in as the family of God. It doesn't matter your lineage. It matters the body of Christ that you have joined yourself to. You have an inheritance. You have something. You must realize. If you don't realize, then you will never go to claim it. If you don't realize that you have an inheritance, you won't ever say, well, it's mine. But if you realize it, then you will look for it. Then you will try and find it. Then you will go places to find it. The first thing is to realize that you have an inheritance. The second thing, dig in prayer. Dig that well in prayer. Remind God of his faithfulness. Remind God of what he did in the past. Remind God that you know and that you're not going to stop. You're going to keep digging. You're going to keep going. Remind him in prayer that there is a well and you want to see it again. That you're going to be like Isaac and you're going to re-dig the wells of Abraham your father. This movement back in 1907, back in 1906, this was founded and it took off because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They all say it, all of them, every single one. This is what changed things. This is what changed things. 1906 was the rebirth of Pentecost here in America. Might have happened in pockets elsewhere before then, but this was the rebirth of the outpouring of God's Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It started in 1907. This is what propelled them. This is what's said over and over and over. How do we re-dig the wells? You need a hunger to be baptized with the Holy Spirit if you're not. And if you are, you need a hunger for a greater infilling of that. Seek God for this. Seek God for this. This changed everything. You ask, why do I need it? Well, you might not need, because we get along without. But my goodness, the church flourishes. You will be changed. I know this because I speak from personal experience. I went along for many years. Many, many years But then, as soon as I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, life changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. And this is not the testimony of just me, but of so many people. This is the way it is. Dig by holding on to the promises of God. Dig by holding on to the promises of God. I remember many, many years ago, God got me onto that verse. It's a verse in Isaiah 44. It says, He will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. He will pour blessing on your seed and your spirit, His spirit on your offspring. I held on to that verse. I prayed it 1,000 times if I prayed it once. You're going to pour water on him who is thirsty. You're going to pour floods on the dry ground, Lord. You're going to pour floods on the dry ground. Well, I'm dry, Lord. I need a flood of your spirit. You pray the promises of God. You hold on to the promises of God. You dig the well. By holding on to the promises of God. And you could find dozens of them where God wants to do this, where God wants to open that well, where God wants to pour out His Spirit. Go to Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will see dreams. Your old men will dream. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'm not sure if I should be seeing dreams or visions right now. I'm not sure if I'm old or young. I'll take either. You dig by holding on to the promises of God that are given in His Word. You dig in worship. Worship is such a powerful thing as you just spend time worshiping the Lord. The Bible says that He's seeking worshipers. If you say, "Here I am, I'll be a worshiper," He's like, "Okay, I'm looking for you. Where you been?" You dig in worship. You dig in prayer. You dig by realizing that you have an inheritance. You call out to God for the Holy Spirit and His baptism in your life. Look at verse 19 of Genesis chapter 26, verse 19. It says this, "Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.'" He's doing it because he made a commitment to the forefathers. He's doing it because he made a commitment to the generations that were before. Isaac might have been a great guy, but God says, "I'm doing this because I made a commitment and I started something with Abraham." God started something with our forefathers as well. And sometimes when you dig, you're going to expect some discouragement. They dug some wells, and there was arguing, and there was fighting. Seems like there's always fighting around the well. It's part of what stops up the well. But they just went on and dug another one. Because they knew how to find water now. They knew how to find water, so they'll find it anywhere. Wherever we go, we're going to find water. They just kept digging. And sometimes it might look like there's no water there. Do you know the well of Jacob, where Jesus talked to that woman and had that conversation? This was called Jacob's well because Jacob dug it. Maybe thousands of years before, Jacob dug the well, and that well remained for thousands of years and refreshed people for thousands of generations. Because that's what the power of God can do. If it is unstopped, it can refresh generation after generation after generation. But you know, that well was deep. I've read where they say that well was 135 feet deep. 135 feet. After 10 feet, I'd be wondering, is there any water here? Who wants to continue? After 20 feet, after 40 feet, after 70 feet, are you kidding me? Are we going to keep digging? What are we doing? We're not finding anything. Keep going. Keep going. Keep digging. After 100 feet, I'm out. I don't want to dig anymore. I can imagine people say, hey, we're risking our lives just to go down to dig. 100 feet, 10 stories. That's tall, that's deep. Keep digging. You might find a lot of earth, but once you find the well, you don't want to let go of that well. And that well might be there for a long, long, long time if not stopped up. They knew how to find water, and they weren't going to stop. They were going to keep digging and keep digging and keep digging until they struck water. This is what they were doing. Psalm 87 verse 7, it says, all my fountains are in you. All my fountains are in you. This is where everything lies. It's all within God. It's all within Jesus. It's all within the Holy Spirit's movement. All my fountains are in you. We take that to heart, and we must believe that everything that we want is found in Jesus. Everything that we want is found in Him. And so we keep going and we keep going and we keep digging and we keep reminding, hey, there's a well beneath us. There's a well beneath us. God, you started something a long time ago. Lord, reopen that well. Let it flow once again. Let it move among us. Let the hearts of the children go back to the hearts of the Father. Let the passion of the children be rekindled, and let it be the passion of the spiritual forefathers. Lord, wake us up. Lord, let us be the ones that dig and dig and dig until we see. We'll handle all the difficulties. We'll handle all the quarreling. We'll handle all these things that occur at the well, but we want the well. I'll tell you one other thing that was such a blessing to me. Not only that when the Lord gave me this word, I didn't realize that there was a revival like atmosphere here, but that was a great blessing. I was like, wow, he said redig the well. I didn't realize it was a revival well here. That's really cool to me. But even this morning, I usually wake up much before I need to spend some time with God. It's just a practice. Me and Fran do that as a regular thing. After I had spent some time with God, I just decided to open a book that I had started to read. Just a book that it didn't have any particular relevance to what we're speaking about today or right now. But it happened that the place that it was in this book, they started to talk about the movement of God in LA. The one that I referred to, the one that God had already put on my heart. The movement of God. God had already, it was like he was just confirming. It was just confirming to me. Look, this is on your heart. Well, it's on his heart too. I'll put it right in front of your face. And that's exactly what, put it right in front of my face. And not only did he talk about the movement in Azusa Street, L.A., not only did he talk about that, but he started to mention the men that were important here in Chicago. I've never seen that in any book anywhere. I've seen it in a little pamphlet. I've never seen it in any book anywhere. The men that started our work, they're mentioned by name. By name in this book. I've never seen it anywhere. But God puts it right in front of my face on the very day that this message was in my heart. That to me is an amazing thing. That's just, our friend of ours used to call these things the kisses of God. He's just kissing you, saying, go for it, do it. I'm in it as well. By name. That to me is unbelievable. And the name of the people that started this church were mentioned in this book. On the very day, just a couple of hours before God put it in my heart for our body. God wants to do something here. God wants to reopen the wells that have been stopped up over time. God wants to reopen the wells. He put this message has been in my heart for 7 years now. God wants to do something. I don't know. I don't have a time frame. God wants to do something. This I am confident of. But each generation must find the well for themselves. Isaac was not content or was not able to just be sustained with the wells of Abraham. He had to go dig wells himself. He dug a well in this valley. He dug a well in that valley. He dug wells wherever he went. And we must be diggers of wells wherever we go. May God give us the strength. May God give us the ability. May God give us the desire. May God give us the hunger for the baptism of his Holy Spirit. May God give us the desire that we don't want to stop until we see a revival of his Spirit that affects not only our neighborhood, but could go on for generation and generation. His name be praised.